Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has confirmed Czech support for Jean-Claude Juncker to become President of the European Commission. Czech Finance Minister Andrej Babiš has won a libel case against the Slovak Nation's Memory Institute, which registered him as a former communist-era secret police agent. And the police have charged a former head of the state agency Czech Invest with fraud. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has confirmed Czech support for former Luxembourg Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker to become President of the European Commission. In a phone interview with Mr. Juncker on Thursday, the Czech Prime Minister said Prague would support his nomination if the issue comes to a vote at an EU summit later this week. Mr. Sobotka said he hoped the EU would avoid drawn-out disputes over posts and focus on a reform agenda that would deliver growth and jobs and increase the competitiveness of the European Union. The Czech coalition government has so far failed to agree on a joint candidate for the next Czech EU commissioner. The leader of the ANO coalition party and current Czech finance minister Andrej Babiš has won a libel case against the Slovak Nation's Memory Institute, which registered him as a former communist-era secret police agent. Babiš launched the court proceedings in an attempt to clear his name, maintaining that although as a former foreign trade worker he could not avoid coming into contact with a communist secret police, he had never been recruited as an agent or harmed anyone by bringing information against them. A Bratislava court ruled on Thursday that there was no evidence which would justify putting Andrej Babiš's name on the list of former communist-era secret police agents. The verdict is not definitive. The allegations regarding Mr. Babiš's past have sparked controversy on the Czech political scene, with critics questioning his presence in high office. The police have charged a former head of the state agency Czech Invest with fraud, Hospodářské noviny reported on Thursday. Miroslav Křížek is accused of having paid 2.2 million crowns to acquaintance Zdeněk Hurský for an audit that was never carried out at the agency, which is tasked with attracting foreign direct investment and helping Czech firms do business abroad. Mr. Křížek, who is now a civic democrat, local politician, headed Czech Invest from September 2010 to August 2012, when he was dismissed in connection with a different suspicious contract. He and Mr. Hurský could face up to 8 years in jail if found guilty. Health Minister Svatopluk Němeček has called emergency consultations with the heads of Prague hospitals in the wake of another incident when a patient in critical condition was refused admission to a number of Prague health institutions. The patient with serious heart problems was reportedly driven around Prague for 2 hours before paramedics found a hospital willing to take him in. According to the internet news site Novinka.cz, the minister is furious over the matter and has threatened that heads would roll once the incident was properly investigated. The Constitutional Court has ruled that the former Justice Minister Pavel Blažek made the wrong decision when he approved the extradition of Russian entrepreneur Alexei Torubarov to his homeland last year, before the authorities had settled his asylum request. Torubarov was wanted in Russia on charges of fraud and blackmail, but he claimed that he was being persecuted by the Russian intelligence service. His extradition from the Czech Republic was dramatic after the then finance minister Miroslav Kalousek intervened and made a last-minute attempt to prevent his plane taking off from Prague airport. Torubarov later escaped from Russia to Hungary. The court's ruling means that he could now return to the Czech Republic and file a new request for asylum. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be bright and sunny, with day temperatures between 24 and 27 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, one of the country's iconic landmarks is being handed back to the Roman Catholic Church. The ice hockey club Lev Praha looks set for a shock withdrawal from the Continental Hockey League. And as Czech families become more nuclear, new projects aim to bridge the widening gap between the generations. All that's coming up in today's program. One of the Czech Republic's iconic landmarks is to be handed back to the Roman Catholic Church. Following decision by the country's custodian of historic buildings and sites, the National Heritage Institute. The decision forms part of the settlement with religious institutions following the confiscation of most of their property by the former communist regime. Decisions about other significant sites are also pending, as Chris Johnston reports.
The star-shaped pilgrimage site and church of St John of Nepomuk at Zelená Hora is one of the Czech Republic's architectural jewels. The Baroque Gothic masterpiece of the Czech architect of Italian descent, Jan Santini Eichel, from the start of the 18th century, was listed in 1994 on UNESCO's worldwide list of cultural sites. But as part of the wide-ranging clampdown in the 1950s, which in particular targeted the Catholic Church, the landmark was given as a gift to the state. The church argued that heavy pressure forced that donation and called for Zelená Hora site to be handed back as part of an historic but controversial cash and property restitution finally approved in 2012. The National Heritage Institute has been managing the whole site since 2001 and has spent the last 12 months looking into the claims of the Catholic Church for it to be handed back. Simona Juračková is head of the Institute's external relations. She said the case itself was not that complicated.
The decision was not that complicated or demanding from a time and technical perspective. The National Heritage Institute called a few times for the applicant to supply further documentation which was needed to evaluate the demand. And the Institute itself approached a range of bodies and archives for further material which could be used to assess the case. That amounted eventually to 200 pages of documents which were evaluated by a legal firm and the legal section of the National Heritage Institute.
Restitution is still a very live issue in the Czech Republic, with the main party in the left-of-centre government, the Social Democrats, pushing in the last month, without much visible success, for the already agreed settlement to be reopened. But Juračková said the pressure of dealing with such a high-profile case did not play any role in the process.
Church restitution is a subject which occupies public opinion a lot in the Czech Republic. There are two extreme positions, for and against, which are very vocal publicly. But as a state-established body, we have to act absolutely according to the rules, and were given the room to make this decision in cooperation with the Brno Diocese without any pressure. All the conditions of the law on restitution had to be fulfilled for the return of property, and according to our assessment, in this case, as regards Zelená Hora, they undoubtedly were.
Wednesday's decision has raised hopes within the Catholic Church that it will be successful with more of its claims, which are still being examined by the Heritage Institute and other state institutions. The church has lodged demands for the return of around 2,000 buildings and around 116,000 plots of land. The Heritage Institute has in total 47 restitution cases to examine, with the latest decision undoubtedly being the biggest and most significant so far. A much more complicated case, that concerning the UNESCO-listed Bishop's Palace and surrounding land at Kromoritz, is still being looked into. But the Institute has already thrown out the demand by the Order of Teutonic Knights for the return of the Bozov Castle near Olomouc, and the grounds that it was not covered by the restitution agreement.
That report was by Chris Johnstone. Now from the issue of cultural landmarks to a relatively new sports team. The ice hockey club Lev Praha has shocked fans and players by announcing it will most likely withdraw from the Continental Hockey League next season. The owners of the Prague club, which reached the finals of the Russian-centred league this year, say they haven't been able to secure a budget for next season. Jan Richter has the details.
When Lev Praha was founded in the Czech capital in 2012, many hockey fans were sceptical about the prospect of a Czech club in the KHL. But in its two seasons in the Russian-centred league, Lev has managed to build a solid fan base. It even set a single-game attendance record for the league, drawing some 16,500 visitors to one of last season's final games. In the finals of the Gagarin Cup, the Prague-based club eventually fell to Russia's Magnitogorsk. However, second place in the wealthy league was a major success for Lev, and one that is now not likely to be repeated, at least not in the coming season. In a statement posted on its website on Wednesday, Lev's owners announced they were struggling to secure its roughly 750 million crown budget for next season, admitting Lev might drop out of the competition. The club says they will not comment further until next week, but team captain Jiří Novotný believes there is little hope Lev will stay in the KHL.
There have been some signs for quite some time. We have been told the final decision is to be made on Monday, but I think it's 99% likely that we won't play. It was a big shock for the players and coaches. It's a great pity because last season was so good for us, and now the players, coaches and other staffers are out of work. It's a shame.
Some Czech media report Lev Praha could have been affected by the decision of the league's main sponsor, the Russian gas giant Gazprom, to cut its support for the competition. The club was also reportedly unable to strike a deal with the owners of Prague's O2 Arena, where it was to play its home games next season. The Lev roster includes Czech internationals such as Jakub Klepiš and Martin Šeft, as well as Finns, Swedes, Canadians and Slovaks. Captain Novotný says it will now be very difficult for them to move to other KHL teams.
The KHL has a cap on foreign players, and our team consisted mainly of foreigners, Czechs, Swedes and so on. The cap is 5 players in one team, and rosters have been long set because training camps start in a month's time in Russia, so it will be a huge problem.
Another 2 clubs have already withdrawn from the KHL, Spartak Moscow over financial issues, and Ukraine's Donbas Donetsk over the situation in their country. However, 3 newcomers are set to join, Sochi and Togliatti of Russia, as well as Finland's Jokerit Helsinki.
Thank you for that report, Jan Richter. Now, in recent decades, Czech families have been going nuclear, with extended families not the strong force they once were. But some people are trying to change that and bring the generations together again. And that's the subject of this edition of Panorama with Daniela Lazarova.
Just 2 decades ago, grandparents played a key role in a child's upbringing. Cohabitation of 3 generations was the norm, and even if that were not the case, the role of babysitter or nanny was practically non-existent, because grandparents automatically took over whenever the need arose. Since the fall of communism opened up new opportunities, things have changed. Young families now live alone, and their elderly parents often either work or live too far away to help out. While this gives both sides greater freedom and independence to live as they choose, there is a downside. Grandchildren are fast losing contact with their grandparents, and slowly a divide is opening up between the youngest and oldest generations in the family. The results of a poll conducted among teenagers last year shocked psychologists. A third of respondents said they considered old people to be a burden to society. Eva Fundová-Macková from the Czech branch of YWCA.
Školáci velice často uváděli, že starým lidem...
Many teenagers who filled in the questionnaire said they did not like old people, that they did not understand them, were not comfortable in their company, and even to some extent feared to approach them.
Nerozumí, že se jich někdy i štítí, že se jich bojí.
Psychologist Zuzana Kohoutová says that the implications of this are very serious, most of all for the young people concerned.
The outcome of the poll saddens me deeply, because these young people are being robbed of something very important, They lack insight into old age, illness, and things that are part of life. As a result, they may have serious problems coming to terms with their own infirmity and old age. They will most likely fear growing old. They will fear that they will be lonely, that others will look down on them, and they may think they will have nothing more to give at that stage. It is regrettably something our society is contributing to. We do not make use of the gifts that seniors can give us.
Senior citizens' homes, kindergartens and NGOs working with children and the elderly are now trying to bridge that gap by getting kids to spend more time with elderly people, even if they are not related. Elderly people from old age homes visit nursery schools to spend a few hours with the children every week, telling them stories, helping them make a bird feed, cut out paper decorations, but above all, just chat and make friends. In other cases, kindergarten children visit an old age home for an hour or so. Maria is 97 and the age difference between her and little Joachim is 92 years.
This brightens our day and gives us something to do and something to look forward to. No sense in lying in bed all day, is there?
Little Joachim, meanwhile, is learning the lessons of give and take.
The teachers tell us to be nice to older people and help them.
Many of these seniors have children and grandchildren who live far away and who they only get to see on occasion. These kids bring a breath of fresh air into their daily existence and by talking about their hobbies and interests help improve communication with their own grandchildren. Psychologist Zuzana Kohoutová says that in many ways the role of a grandparent is irreplaceable.
Children who don't have this relationship lose out on many things. I am sure we all remember the stories that our grandparents would tell us when we were kids about their own childhood and youth. I remember my grandmother telling me about the war, about how they would hide to escape the bombings. She would tell me other people's stories that she knew. By telling these stories, grandparents help children understand the plight of others, other people's joys and sorrows, and in that way they help develop a child's empathy. That is terribly important, and it is something that is being lost.
The project to bring together children and elderly people is actively supported by the Czech branch of YWCA, which helps organise free time activities both for seniors and children. It says that the time spent together is invaluable for both sides. Older people, who may be lonely and no longer able to go out and about, suddenly get a new interest which may help them overcome the aches and pains of old age. They feel useful once again and look forward to the time spent together with the children. Zuzana Kohoutová says that grandparents have a great deal to offer.
Grandparents are more patient. They are willing to listen for longer and answer the endless questions that children always ask. Parents tend to be more impatient, more practical and task-oriented, and sometimes just too busy to give kids that kind of attention. So grandparents are terribly important, and I think that if a child does not have that relationship, then spending time with elderly people through the kindergarten project is the next best thing, because the place or blood relationship is not so important. What is the precious and wonderful friendships formed across generations.
While there is general support for this new trend, some parents may be concerned about what their child may witness or how they may be affected by a visit to an old age home. I asked psychologist Zuzana Kohoutová to address those concerns.
I would encourage these visits as early as possible. And if parents have a problem with them, then it is generally their own problem or fear that they need to address. Because young children are very open-minded, they do not fear illness or old age. They are simply curious, and they are very receptive to all the positive things that these elderly people can give them. Even in a family environment, A child is receptive to what is going on when grandparents say something different from what their parents say, like slipping them chocolates before lunch, which they know is not allowed. They realize the way things work in a family, the way relationships work, and you get this wonderful bond and conspiracy with a grandparent. This is very important, and even such tiny incidents create firm friendships.
Meanwhile, in Brno, families are going about it their own way, using the services of an agency which offers grandmas as nannies and babysitters. The EU-funded childcare project is aimed at helping families with young children juggle work and family, but also to establish a grandma bond between the nanny and children who don't have grandparents of their own or whose grandparents just live too far away. The Brno Centre for Family Planning and Childcare launched the Rent-a-Granny scheme in 2012 along the lines of the Oma Dienst project successfully implemented in neighbouring Austria. Its name, Clover, denotes a bond between three generations, seniors, young parents and children.
That edition of Panorama by Daniela Lazarova was first broadcast in January this year. If you've got any comments about today's programme, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or on Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening to Radio Prague and goodbye.